Good morning, 90-333-105. I want to speak to Martin O'Brien. He's a commentator and journalist. He writes for the Irish News. He writes for the Irish Catholic as well. And he's available for a conversation. I'm just looking at the morning papers, and no surprise, the Irish News have absolutely gone to town on the papal visit. There's a great wraparound as the front page, and then if you peel off the wraparound, you get the Irish News front page and the headline, Pope Seeks Forgiveness for Church Abuse Scandals. It shows the Pope at the top of the steps as he waves goodbye on the St Aidan Aer Lingus flight. But the wraparound is a spectacular photograph of the Pope going through the masses in the Pope Mobile. And, you know, the Belfast Telegraph, which isn't a paper you instantly associate with coverage of the Pope, free inside supplement on visit of Pope Francis, and Pope Francis there in the top banner. And this is the newsletter, Lafferty, two-goal hero and first start back at Rangers, and other things about events that are happening. Big turnout for last March of the season, the Royal Black Institution making the front page. No surprise there in the newsletter, but in fairness, open the newsletter and there's Pope in Ireland on page 2, Pope in Ireland on page 3, Pope in Ireland on page 4, Pope in Ireland on page 5, Pope in Ireland on page 6, Pope in Ireland on page 7. You'll get dizzy reading the newsletter when it comes to coverage of the Pope. There's a lot being written around the world, Martin, and a lot of commentary worldwide. What do you make of it?
Good morning, Frank. And maybe I should also say that I write for the Belfast Telegraph, given that you mentioned the Belfast Telegraph there. Yes, well, Ireland has been at the centre of a world story this weekend. Scandals facing the Catholic Church around clerical sex abuse are, of course, a worldwide issue. And the Pope being in Ireland this weekend, and the 1,200 journalists from all over the world covering him, certainly ensured that it's a story that's been covered not just locally, not just nationally, but internationally. I suppose there were three moments that stood out for me. First of all, Frank, the plea for forgiveness during the penitential rite in the Mass. That was written in handwriting by the Pope at very short notice. And it shows, you know, that the Pope can move very quickly on occasion when the occasion demands. Secondly, allied to that, I thought that his comments in Knock, in the context of a prayer in which he said that this open wound challenges us to be firm and decisive in the pursuit of truth and justice. Now, I thought that stood out because I thought the Pope was really challenging himself to action in the pursuit of truth and justice. The third, the second thing that struck me about it all was, given that in particular that we're talking audience primarily at the moment, that just how prominently Northern Ireland featured in his speeches. You know, in his third sentence on Irish soil at Dublin Castle, he acknowledged the presence of a delegation from Northern Ireland. And then later on in the speech, he talked about the Good Friday Agreement. And then in Knock again, he referred to the beloved people of Northern Ireland. So one wonders perhaps if he may come to Northern Ireland sometime in the not-too-distant future. And the third issue that stood out for me was the very respectful, measured, mature speech by Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach in Dublin Castle. I thought that that actually was a speech that showed statesmanship and judgment, and it also has been reported widely around the world.
So, Martin, you say about the handwriting, and he wrote in the, I suppose, the most broadcast comments since he arrived. He wrote them in afterwards, after he met the victims. Is there a suggestion there that he arrived slightly ill-prepared, that he wasn't fully aware of the hurt? Or did he always plan to update his script at the last moment?
Well, I'll tell you what it does tell you, Frank, was that certainly he was poorly briefed. There seems to have been a deficit in the briefing that he received ahead of his meeting
with the victims and survivors the evening before. And what was very touching was that one of those survivors made the point to him very forcefully that single mothers had been told by nuns that it was a mortal sin for them to seek to be reunited with their own flesh and blood, with their children. And that person implored him to address this, and he undertook to deal with it in Phoenix Park. He didn't explain how he would do it, but then he did. It just shows, as I say, that the Pope can respond very quickly. But yes, certainly, many observers and, of course, victims and survivors themselves were surprised that he did not appear to be aware of the mother and child homes and the Magdalene laundries. But that statement in his own handwriting, written in executively into the penitential rite, certainly showed that he had taken on board what he had been told and moved very decisively to address that in that particular way.
And is the Church, as a result of this visit, the Catholic Church, is it in a stronger or weaker position, having gone through, which was in many ways, for people, some people, an absolute celebration of a weekend, for other people, a turbulent roller coaster type weekend. There were very obvious moments when it was a very difficult watch. And I'm not sure if people who are waving flags and standing at a mass in the rain really get it the way people may have got it sitting watching it on television, where you're hearing every moment of it. Some of it was incredibly painful.
Yes, and it was, well, one thought that occurs to one immediately is the number of people actually who turned out despite the bucketing rain, despite all the fears around health and health and safety beforehand, all the warnings about how difficult it would be to walk to the Phoenix Park, to get their issues around transportation, and of course the way in which the atmosphere had been depressed by the awful report that emerged from Pennsylvania regarding child abuse. But in terms of the Pope's visit, certainly it has been a great fillip to staunch Catholics, to practicing Catholics, but not just, I think, to the Catholic faithful itself. I think looking at it in the wider picture, the Pope is widely regarded as the premier voice of conscience in the world today. And for a world figure like that to come to Ireland and to speak in this way and to speak to the issues that and not just around child abuse, the obvious ones, but around people on the peripheries, and take the very striking visit he made to the homeless centre run by the Capuchins in Dublin. That was a very powerful message as well, that this is a Pope of the periphery. So a lot of people, as I say, practicing Catholics will take an awful lot of encouragement from it, but of course it is a wake-up call to the Church in Ireland in the fullest sense, that so much more has still to be done, and in regard to really addressing, I think we have moved on from a situation of having in place proper safeguarding procedures, but now really there is a crying demand for bishops who are found to have covered up, that there is a mechanism in place whereby they will be brought to justice. And you have to remember that this is not just an Irish problem. In fact, it's a world problem. And one of the most striking conversations I have with the at the World Meeting of Families in Dublin was with a Filipino member of the Pontifical
Commission for the Protection of Children, who told to me, the meeting and elaborated to me his point that if his son was going to a seminary in the Philippines, he could not be sure, reasonably sure, that that he would be safe. So,
yeah,
child protection has to be rolled out to the widest sense.
Okay, we certainly got the point that Martin made. I think his line's just gone down as he came to the end of that sentence. But it is worrying that people around the world are still seriously concerned. Martin O'Brien.